All right. So, Galatians. Living in the life and the liberty of the Spirit. That's where we have been for the last 6 months. And I just want to take this time to give you a chance. If you had a particular question about that, I know this oftentimes is not necessarily the setting that everybody feels the most comfortable in. But if you have a question that you would like us to clarify, we're gonna take just a moment right now and do that. So if you just raise your hand, we'll bring the microphone to you, and you can just share that with the VOD. Anybody have a particular question? If you don't, I do. Actually, several of you have over time, you know, sometimes after a message have asked questions. And one of them that I think really comes out strong out of Galatians chapter 1 is this issue of, okay, how do we deal with the message that says, if somebody preaches to you a gospel contrary to the one which you have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we live in a pluralistic society that says, there's lots of ways. So I think one of the questions that ought to be asked is, how should believers communicate the exclusive message of Christ in a pluralistic society? How do we deal with the fact that we have a truth that says we are the only way when there's other people going different ways? And the first thing I would say is with gentleness. With gentleness and with humility, we can share with people the message of God's love. Sometimes when I find people, when they find somebody that thinks different than them, they want to do two things. The first they start off with is a very convincing method of dealing with people. They say, you're wrong. You know, and I don't know how you deal with that, but most of us don't do well with that, you know? And the idea of saying, you can't believe that, or you shouldn't believe that. Would you like anybody coming to you and telling you you shouldn't believe on Jesus Christ? Would you like anybody coming to you and telling you that you're all wrong? Friends, I think we can know the truth that we have, but we can with gentleness share. You know, the Bible says, the Word of God declares, and we rest ourselves not in a I'm right, you're wrong, but we rest ourselves in saying, this is what the revelation of the Word of God says. And so it's not about them and you, it's just about this is what God has said within His Word. And I find that to be a much more presentable position and a much more relational position to walk out. This is another one that people wrestle with. It came out of the second chapter. And that whole idea of, is the law, the Ten Commandments, is that the moral guide or standard for believers today? The Bible says no. And I know we've been through this, and even as I say that, I see people's eyes popping out of their head, you know, and that's why we're going over questions, because some people haven't got it. You are not under that law. You are not under that standard. In fact, God has a much higher standard for you. It's called love as Christ loves. And the standard He has for you is, are you walking by faith, not are you keeping certain sets of rules? Because many of us have found that we can do stuff that we don't believe. We can say stuff that we don't mean. We can act in a certain way, and that's not really what's going on in our heart. And God says, I have a whole new covenant. And He said the new covenant was what? He said it was better. He said it was perfect. He said it was eternal. And He said it made the other covenant obsolete. Okay? So we have to understand that we're under a new covenant. And then this whole explanation about, okay, then why the law? Well, it points us to Christ. It shows us our need. The problem is it doesn't give you any power to do it. And that power comes only by faith in Christ through His Spirit. So His law, while perfect, is not that which we're to be focusing upon. We're to be focusing upon His Spirit and the love of Christ, and let that be the transforming power. So, does grace make sin of no consequence? Some people think this idea that, you know, if you if we're under grace, then you're just saying that, you know, and your works don't save you, then you're saying it really doesn't matter how I live. And by the way, that's exactly what Paul was accused of. And in fact, that's a good portion of what Romans was about in Romans 6. Should we say, let's continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said what? God forbid. But why was he saying it? Because he said some people are saying that's what I'm preaching. In fact, I heard one commentator say, until you get accused of that, you really haven't taught grace. You see, until you get to that spot where people are beginning to feel uncomfortable with the fact that you're saying it's not your works that give you any standing before God, and then people begin to say, oh, then my works don't matter, you really haven't got to the edge of grace until you get there. But when you get to that spot, you say, my works don't matter. It's marvelous that they're in Galatians. He says, oh yeah, your works do matter. But they don't matter about your salvation. They matter about living out your salvation. They matter about declaring the character of God to the people around you. And that's very important. It's important even in the parenting. How do you teach grace in parenting? You know, and I thought Galatians 6 was great on that. He says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. Parents, that's what we should be teaching to our children, is you reap what you sow. Grace does not contradict those principles. What it says is that the consequence for eternity has been transformed by Christ. But you're still making an impact in the present by the choices that you are making. And so we have to look at that. Grace is not a hall pass to sin. All right? That is not what it's about. It is an invitation to experience the power and life of the Spirit in a completely new and fresh way by depending on Him for life rather than trying to produce those good works by your own fleshly effort. And that always leads either to depression or arrogance. You know, when you live by the law, you're either going to be a person who says, let me show you how good I am, or you're going to be a person, and this is where an honest person will be, oh my, what a horrible, rotten failure I have become. As opposed to becoming a person who understands, I am a child of God, and His life is at work in me forever to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. So that's the amazing message of this. So, now, if we take away the law, if you take away the fence, then what keeps people from running willy-nilly all over the place? Because now they don't have this set of rules. They're just going to go out and do whatever. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You see, because one of the amazing things is law has never been very good at restraining flesh. Have you noticed that in America? You know, over 10,000 laws on the books, and we can't even keep the speed limit. Okay? Because your flesh revolts against law, and it's stirred up by the law, and it won't make you obey. It does not give you the power to do that. So what will give you the power? The Holy Spirit. And that's what he says. It's a completely new covenant where we are empowered to keep God's principles by the Spirit of God. So what does God want from me as a believer? If I go through this whole concept, what does he want from me as a believer? Love, faith, and obedience out of love and faith. You see, you obey him because you love him. Not so you'll get a standard with him. Not so you'll somehow impress the people around you. But because of who he is and what he's done for you, you obey. And so we walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. He says, if you live by the Spirit, if life really comes by the Spirit, he says, then walk that out. That's a whole new standard, a whole new pattern of living that he wants us to be in. And so when we step into that, you begin to discover that faith working through love fulfills God's law. And he spent that whole fifth chapter talking about that. That this is really how God's plans get fulfilled in you when you really step forward on this. All right, so I've given you a little more thought. Anybody else have a question? Those were kind of like the six biggies that I kind of thought were still stirring up out there. And if my comments and stuff bother you, that's great. Search the Scriptures. That's what I want you to do. Please, do not go by a preacher's word. Go by God's word. Amen? All right? But if you got a question, don't just walk out mad. You know, write it down on your communication card or send me an email and say, hey, how does this fit? I thought I heard you say. Because very frequently I have found that what I have said or what I have meant to say is not exactly what you heard or what I really did say. You know, you do understand that statement that I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure you know that what I said was not really what I meant. Yeah. You know that saying? You know, some of you have been married in that kind of situation for a long time, isn't that right? So, Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So when we talk about Galatians living in the Spirit's liberty, he says, you're going to continue in my word, you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Friends, that is the message of Galatians, that you would be set free by God's truth. Set free by God's truth. And so, in Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Christ came to bring us a relationship with God, not based on a set of rules, but based on a living relationship with His Spirit. And so here's what Galatians was about, is that people had stepped into Galatia and were telling the church there that you need to keep these rules to be a good Christian, that you need to be circumcised. If you're really a child of faith and a child of Abraham, then you'll go back and do what Abraham did, and then you'll do what Abraham's descendants, Moses, taught, and you'll step back under law. He says you need to do this. And Paul's whole teaching of Galatians was, says, do not go back there. All right? Only the love of Christ can control us. Only the love of Christ. And so man's efforts, man's religious systems are totally worthless for developing any true righteousness. They're totally worthless. Because when you actually start doing the good things that they tell you to do, then you begin getting a fatter and fatter head, and you're less and less righteous. You're more and more arrogant. It just sets you up. It is a continual problem. So freedom makes legalists uncomfortable. All right? And I got to tell you, as I went through Galatians, this pastor has learned a lot. I still have a lot to learn. But understanding more and more the freedom that Christ wants me walking in. And when you begin to experience that, I believe you begin to release the need to control. And that's a very good thing for us to experience. And so, they came in to Galatia. In fact, the story is actually, I believe, is in Acts 15, where it says, and some came up and began teaching that unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. And that whole church council that came out of Acts, into Acts 15, was, I believe, part of what was the issue here that was going on in Galatia. So what were they saying? Well, they were telling them a lie. And I want you to understand that as I express some things, and not everything I speak in the morning is a truth, I'm actually going to speak some lies to you this morning, okay? And that sounds scary, doesn't it? But I want you to be discerning truth from lies. I want you to recognize lies and be able to bring it alongside the truth of the Word of God. And this is that man gains God's approval by his good works. That's a lie. See, man gains God's approval by his good works. But I'm here to tell you that that is being taught world over. That's being taught in churches that claim to be Christian. You just need to do a little more for God, and God will be happy with you. And so, Paul came teaching the Galatians, and so in that third verse of the first chapter, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we were at war with God. We didn't have any peace with God. We had broken His laws. And you know, when somebody gets mad, it can get violent. You know, we're seeing that over there in southern Russia. Isn't that right? Somebody gets offended and you take offense at it, you're at war. All right? But He gave Himself for us and our sins so that He might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So what did He say? He said, I'm amazed. You are so quickly deserting Him who called you by His grace for a different gospel, which is not really another. For there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. If they were distorting it in Paul's day, and Peter actually in his letter said, there are people twisting Paul's letters already, I guarantee you that they're doing a great job of it now. The distortion is continuing to go on. So what is the message? Well, read this with me, because I want you to read the truth. I want your understanding of principles that I share with you to be rooted in God's truth. So let's read this together. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is that pretty clear? Okay, so that's clear. He says, no flesh will ever receive your okay by your works. That's justified, right standing before God, acting as if I had never sinned. You'll never reach that point by your performance. Because even if we could make you perfect today, what's the problem? Yesterday, you still need someone to cover yesterday's stuff. All right? So we are justified by faith in Christ. And so the truth is this. You only gain God's approval by believing in Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? You only gain God's approval by believing in Jesus Christ. But I am here to tell you, Christian, ask God to show you what that means. You've heard that, and yet, I find most of us are still, we step back into works. And you say, hey, I did my devotions today, God. Could you help me out with a little answer to this one? What are you trying to say? Hey, I was good, so you should be good to me. And you say, I should be blessed based on my works. No, I'm blessed based on faith in Christ alone. Friends, it is a challenge. It's a challenge. I'm trying to figure out, how do I help you see this? And this was the thought that came to me. Just ask him some questions. Very, very simple question. Are you as good as God is good? Do you ever think you can be as good as God is good? Then you and yourself will never be good enough for God. That's why you need a Savior. See, that's why you have to abandon your good works, which actually the Bible calls filthy rags. Not very complimentary, Isaiah wasn't in Isaiah 64. He says it's filthy rags. Because it's still based on self-focus. So you can't be as good as God. Was Christ as good as God? Yes, Christ was God. Right? He was as good as God. So when I trust Christ's goodness, God gives that goodness to me as a gift. I receive that as a gift from Christ. And I am then declared good because he paid the full penalty for my sin. And when he paid the penalty for sin, the Bible says he separated the sin from us. How far? As far as the east is from the west. You ever been able to make those two meet? You can go east for a long time and you'll never be going west. And I see that's not true, north, south, isn't it right? You go north and then pretty soon you're headed over, you know, you stay on the planet, you're going to be headed over, headed south. But you can go east and never be going west. He says he forever separated them from us. That's why we can say there's no condemnation. It's not just because God says, oh, that's okay. He doesn't say it's okay. It's horrible, wrong, and terrible, and Jesus Christ died for it. And that, my friends, is one of the reasons why you want to walk out of sin, even though it's forgiven, is because your sins put Christ upon the cross. Don't stay in that stuff. Don't embrace that kind of life. So you can't be as good as God. So salvation does not come by trusting any religious signs, any ordinances, any rituals. Because in all of those we'll fall short. And that's what the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And falling short, it's the archery term. What does that mean? Miss the target. You missed the target. Not just off the mark, but missed the target. Okay? So it comes down to a principle. It's very, very simple to remember. It's a great thing. If you're ever talking to other people about your faith and they're saying, well, I think all the religions got this and they're all kind of the same. No, they're not. It's a difference between do versus done. It is that simple. It's a difference between do versus done. All of the other religions of the world will say, you need to do this, you need to do this, and if you'll do this, and then if you'll do this, and then if you'll do this, then you can be in right standing with God. And what Christ came to declare is that I will please the Father, and everything I do pleases the Father, and if you will put your faith in me, Father will be pleased. And so it's all done. And so I trust in a finished work of Christ, that he was the substitutionary sacrifice for me, that he took my place. And so it is a done work. So doing is what I do to earn God's favor. Done is what Christ has done to earn God's favor. And we said he was good enough for God. And so I'm going to trust the done deed. Amen? So we trust the done deed. All right. So true believers have only one gospel, salvation through faith in Christ alone. You only gain God's approval by believing in Jesus Christ. And he says that we have to repent of trusting ourselves and actually put on the righteousness of Christ. And so I wanted to illustrate that thought, you know, today. So I put on a robe. This is not a righteous robe, sorry. But it's going to be the righteous robe today. It's going to be the illustration. You know, why does a person put on a robe? To cover, isn't that right? All right. You don't want to be identified as what is seen. You want to be identified by what you want seen. Isn't that right? Do you follow that? And that's the concept. You don't just go out and get the paper and what you were wearing when you got out of bed. You know, you put on your paper, you put on your robe so you can go out and get that. So you want to be identified differently. And so the issue is I want you to be identified with what Christ is and who Christ is. And so we put on, by faith, the righteousness of Christ. And that is what then is our identification. And so when you see me, what do you see? You see the robe. You see the identification that says, that's how you perceive me. And that's what he wants. He wants the life of Christ to be that which people perceive in you, so that you live out the righteousness of Christ. So that's why we choose righteousness as a behavior, because that displays Christ in our lives. And so we put on the very righteousness of Christ by putting our faith in Christ. So now I'm not taking off my righteousness. Now I'm taking off my robe. Okay. So, but hopefully that will help illustrate that thought. So now. Now that you've been identified in the righteousness of Christ, you've put that on, and now you've got to keep your robe clean. Isn't that right? Yeah, I got to keep this clean or God won't be happy with me. This is the next major issue that all believers wrestle in, okay? I'm in the kingdom, but how do I stay in the kingdom? I'm in God's house, but how do I keep God happy with me in the house? Because all of us were raised by parents. And when we disobeyed, what happened? Mom and Dad were not happy. Is that the safe way to put that? You know, and so there's that clear sense that says, I have disobeyed. God is unhappy with me. And there's a sense of being pushed away. And so there's lies that come up here in this situation. And it's faith that accepts God's righteousness, but then when I make a bad choice during the week, have I then lost the righteousness? Well, is Christ still righteous? Okay? Is Christ still in you? So then you still have it. So you're maintained by what? By Christ. But there's a tendency for people to say this, is that man keeps God's approval as a believer by his good works. Okay, now you've been saved, but now you got to keep God happy by being good. And that gets taught in a lot of good Christian churches as well. Now, if you want to be a good Christian, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. This is what makes you a good Christian. Can anything make you good other than Christ? No, so that means we shouldn't do any good, right? No. Is that I'm going to embrace Christ and his plan for my life, not to be good, but because He is good, and I'm embracing goodness as an act of love and faith towards Him. I choose to respond to Him out of love. And so there's a principle that's taught here. In fact, if you want to look with me over here in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, talking about the law, because this is what it says. People will say, okay, now you're saved by faith, but then you need to keep the law. Now you need to go back to keeping the law. And that was the whole debate there in chapter 3, where he says in verse 3, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And that's what I find. A lot of Christians are trying to, they're practicing a self-improvement plan. The only problem is if you're trying to improve self, what are you going to still end up with? Self. We want it to be Christ transforming life inside of you. It's not a self-improvement plan. And so you're not back under law now that you've put your faith in Christ. You're going to walk by the Spirit. And so in verse 12, he says, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he says, I'm going to give you the promise. I'm going to give my fulfillment through the Spirit. Now that's the focal point. Now we didn't have time to teach you all of Genesis, but that was the concept that Genesis was, that God gave Abraham a promise and said, I'm going to bless you. Well, the greatest blessing was what? Was the descendant Jesus Christ, the seed that came. And Christ came that what? That the seed of God might be put in you, that you might have the Holy Spirit living in you and giving you the life and righteousness of Christ, and the very power to live as Christ would live if He were you. See, this is not you trying to act like Jesus. This is you trying to say, what would Jesus do if He were me? How would He handle my child? How would He respond to this workplace situation? And so now I live by the Spirit, not by the law. And so we don't earn God's approval or keep God's approval by our good works. That won't cut it. But that's where we get, because you come to church, and a good preacher like myself will tell you, you ought to go to church. You've heard that before, isn't that right? And you ought to give, and you ought to serve, and you ought to be nice, and you ought to, and you should, and you should, and you should, and you listen to all that should stuff for a while, and you walk away saying, if I was good, I would do what I should, and if I don't do what I should, then I'm not good. And you're back to basing your goodness on who? Yourself. And that will always make you disappointed. It's just a guarantee. You're going to be disappointed with yourself. And so, we have to come to a spot where we will abandon hope and self and put complete faith in Jesus Christ. That's why there's a whole discussion of dying. All the way through Galatians. You're dying to yourself. You're dying to that effort of self-improvement and turning yourself over and saying, God, transform me by your Spirit. The Spirit is God's solution for human weakness. Did you hear me? The Spirit is God's solution for human weakness. So in any spot where you have become stuck, all right? And we all get there at times. Where you become stuck and you are not making progress in the Spirit in this aspect of relationship, in this aspect of obedience, in this part of your thought life, in that spot where you're stuck, you are not open at this moment to letting the Spirit do what He wants to do. You have told God no in some way. You have grieved and quenched the Spirit of God. When He said, let's go forward, you said, nope. And at that point, you became stuck. And you've resisted what He wants to do. And so you're not walking in the Spirit here. And I'm not sure I can even call it sitting in the Spirit, okay? You're resisting, okay, in the flesh what God wants to do. And so stuckness, broken downness, habitual problem issues are a reflection of not having renewed your mind to let the Spirit take over. I'm not going to believe the truth that God says about this. I'm going to believe what I feel. I'm going to believe what I know about my past. I'm going to let that be my identity. And I'm going to stay here. That will keep you from going forward. That's not God's plan. You see, you can't do it by your own works. Now, what does that mean? Is the law then contrary to God? To the promises of God? May it never be. It says that in verse 21. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would have been based on a law. If we could give a law that when you kept the law, it gave you power, or when you heard the law, it gave you the power to obey, then you could make righteousness based on law. But since a law can't make you righteous, you need the Spirit of a righteous God living out in you His righteousness. And that's what makes you righteous. That's what produces righteous behavior, is the Spirit of God. It doesn't come from anything else. That's why flesh effort never leads to true righteousness. It comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Read these next few verses with me. We'll put them on the screen so we all have the same translation. Okay, so we've got this lie we've exposed, all right, that we don't keep God's approval by our works. Here's what he says. Read it together. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now he brings in a radical new concept in this verse. He says, you're no longer under law. You're no longer a slave. You are now sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's a whole new identity that we take on as believers. We become sons of God. So, do your children have to work hard to be your children? Do they have to... You need to do this. Don't think you have chores at your house? Is that what makes them your children? Nope. That's what children do, chores for parents. You know, cheap labor. That's what the kids always accuse us of. And you parents know it's anything but cheap. All right? But obeying a parent does not make a person a child. Child are brought into the world by birth. And it is by rebirth through faith in Jesus Christ that you become a son of God. And your whole identity changes. You become a new creation in Christ. And as that, he makes us sons. And that then gives you a desire to say, I want to honor Father. I want to live for Father. Now, it is a great mistake to think you're saved by grace, but sustained by works. It's a great mistake to think that once you've been saved, you could somehow lose your salvation. If you lose your salvation, friends, then you didn't have salvation. You had a good life for a while. You know, if you had eternal life and you lost it, it wasn't eternal. You know, the definition has to be changed. It becomes temporary good life. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I got temporary good life until I messed it up and then I lost it again. No, you cannot lose a gift of God. You cannot lose when you become some completely different person. That cannot be lost. You can become God's disobedient child, and that will make you God's disciplined child. Even to the point of death, He will discipline us, but you are His child forever. Can we get in big trouble as children? Oh yeah. Some of you guys are living testimonies of that. Isn't that right? The Christian life is Christ's life, and it must be lived by Christ's power, or it won't be Christ's life. That's what the Spirit's all about. So faith makes that possible. It's trusting Christ as life. And so the truth is this, that believers are approved as God's sons, and live by faith in Christ. I don't live to get God's approval. I live because God gave me His approval through Jesus Christ. And now I want to live in right relationship with Him. Following Christ is not a matter of trying harder. That's the Hertz motto. That's not the Christian motto. We try harder. But that's what I find a lot of Christians to be. But that is not what the Word declares. Galatians 2:20 puts it this way. Read it with me again. I hope you've memorized this. I've sought to make you memorize this by having you read it with me so many times, because it is a foundational principle to all of life, not just Galatians. Okay. Read it together. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The life I now live in this human body, I live by faith. And there is no other way to live it and please God. There's no other way to live it and reflect God to your world. Because it's faith that connects you to Christ. It's faith that reveals His life in your life. Some of you are here this morning. And in a group this size, I can safely say this. You are totally broken and frustrated. You are feeling like giving up. You are tired of yourself. You may be tired of your spouse. You may be tired of your children. You may be tired of your church and that pastor. You may be tired of the problems with your finances. And you say, I just can't do this any longer. Good. Yeah, that's what I say. Good. You say, well, I'm going to quit. Yeah, quit. Quit on yourself. Because yourself is never going to get you there. It is not until you come to the end of yourself that you will experience the fullness of Christ. And Christ will let you walk out yourself until you run out of yourself. And if you want to keep staying in yourself, you're going to have to walk away from Christ. Because Christ wants you to walk with Him. Are you willing to be weak so that Christ can be strong? That's what the life of faith is all about. Friends, trying versus trusting. Now I know the word try is not a bad word in the English language. But my friends, it is a bad word in Christian theology. And I hear it all the time, and I'm seeking to prune it out of our lives. Well, I am trying to do this. I am trying to do this. If you're trying, you're failing. Yeah, you're failing. What do I mean? Because you're failing at doing what God has called you to do, because what God called you to do was what? Trust. Hey, try this on for size. Monday morning. I'm going to try and get up and go to work. The boss calls you to make a, well, I was trying. It doesn't work that way. Does it? You just do what needs to be done and you exercise faith that it's worth it to get up and keep that job even though I don't particularly like it or they should pay me more or whatever. You step forward by faith. Yeah, you work by faith. They don't pay you before you work. They pay you after you work. You're believing that you're going to get paid. You work by faith. You drive by faith. You think those other people are going to stay on the other side. And that, my friends, is not always safe. They don't always do it. We do a lot of things by faith, but you need to live this life by faith. And so trying leads to failing. But trusting is saying that I believe when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, that He won the victory. When He was on that cross, He didn't say, it's almost done. He didn't say, I did pretty good. He didn't say, I took it this far, you take it from here. He said, it is finished. And so I trust a finished work of a victory that's already won, and I live by faith in the victory that's won until the day I stand before Him. We walk by faith, not by sight. Friends, cease forever trying to please a father who is already pleased with His Son. And trust forever the Son who has already pleased the Father forever. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. You say, I don't understand why He's letting this happen. Neither do I. Well, yes, I do. That you might be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And he will do whatever it takes to let Jesus show up in you. And by the way, most of you, at some point in your life, if you're like me, actually prayed that. Oh God, whatever it takes, just let Jesus be showing up in my life. Just do this. I want this. And he says, good, that's what I want. And if you're here today and you're saying, I can't say whatever it takes, then you're saying, I don't want to be like Jesus. I don't trust the Father with my life. Because he knows what's best. It doesn't please Father to make us go through pain. But pain is a good thing sometimes. Isn't that right? It's part of the process of getting back into health sometimes. Friends, you are loved, you're forgiven, you're accepted in Christ if your faith is in him. Walk it. Listen, Oswald Chambers said this, the life of faith is not a mounting up with wings like eagles. It is rather a walking and not fainting. So walking and not fainting. Faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves the one who is leading. Amen? That's all I got to know. I have to tell myself that repeatedly. Say, what's... He knows. He knows what he's doing. I can trust him. He's already proven that on a cross. He's already proven that with an empty tomb. He's powerful enough. He's big enough. He's loving enough. I can give him my life and I will be okay. So have you? Have you given him your life? If you have, you are free. Live like it. That's the message of Galatians. You're free. Live like it. Enjoy what he has done. Walk by the Spirit. You are a new creation. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been justified by faith in Christ. You've been adopted as sons of God. You are under a new covenant. You've been indwelt by his Spirit, and you will be rewarded for every good thing you do by faith. So let's get after it and have a good time. Let's be free. That's his plan for us. Live in the liberty of his Spirit. You see, I'm not calling on you to consent to a proposition. I'm calling on you to commit yourself to a person. Have you ever given Jesus Christ full reign of your life? If not, this day, this morning, I'm saying, do it. By faith. Choose to turn your life over to him. It's a relationship with life. Because he's life. The truth, the way, the life. Billy Sunday, that powerful evangelist, had finished a crusade. He'd shared Christ with so many people. Many had came forward down the sawdust trail. And he was wrapping things up. And they'd already had the closing time. And he was packing his stuff up. And some man who in the middle of the meeting had walked out in anger and conviction, came back. And he came to the front to Billy Sunday. He says, Billy, he says, I need to get saved. He says, what must I do to be saved? And Billy didn't even look up. He says, you're too late. And the guy goes, what are you talking about? He says, I know I need to be saved. He says, I want to be saved. He says, what must I do to be saved? He says, you are too late. He says, no, it can't be so. He says, what do you mean I'm too late? He says, it's already been done. You need to trust Jesus Christ who's done it all for you. And then you will be saved. That's what I'm telling you, friends. You're too late to save yourself, but you're not too late to trust Christ. If you've never done that this morning, I would ask you, to make that decision. I ask you to tell us, I am choosing today to trust Christ. So we're going to bow our heads, and as we pray, If you've never put your faith in Christ before, if you've never made that total declaration, right now this morning, I'm inviting you to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and say, I turn from trusting myself to trusting Christ. Will you do that this morning? Let's pray that with Him. Jesus Christ, we believe that You love us. We believe that You are the Son of God. We believe that You rose from the dead, and we thank You for purchasing our forgiveness. And we come afresh today to say, I will not trust myself, but I choose to trust Christ alone for my salvation. I repent of my self-effort to trust my Savior's work. Is that your prayer this morning? If it is, would you just tell me by raising your hand, saying, I am repenting of trusting myself, and I will trust Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God's got to work for you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we come as sinners who get it all messed up, and yet You make us saints, and so now we're saints who sin. Will You cause us to follow You by faith? Set us free from that self-condemnation. Set us free from self-effort and live out the life of Christ in us for Your honor and for Your glory and for our joy. Amen.